Alright, so we're taking a look at this conversation that the priest, Zechariah, was having with the angel. And Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? The angel had just told him that he and his wife were going to have a son. Told him the greatness of this son. And Zechariah responded by asking, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So we hear the difference here. Mary had not been expecting to receive an answer to her prayer that she would be the mother of the Messiah, because she had not been praying that she would be the mother of the Messiah. When told that that would be the very case, and she asked how, then of course the angel explained how that would come about. This was something that was totally new for her. She had no idea that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. She knew that she was a virgin. She did not know how virgins became pregnant. Think about Zechariah. He was a priest who had been praying even in his old age for a baby, for a son. And think about this. Zechariah, who was an upright priest, had simply to look back on Abraham's situation and Sarah's situation, both of them in their old age and Sarah barren. And yet God worked a miracle and empowered both of their bodies to reproduce children. Zechariah could have looked back at Abraham's example and Sarah's example, that couple's example, and said, you know what? God did this for Abraham and Sarah. He will do it for me and my wife as well. But instead, he doubted. He did not believe, despite the fact that it had been done for Abraham and Sarah. He doubted it would be done for him and Elizabeth. And as a result, the angel Gabriel told him he would be silent and not be able to speak until the day that it happened. And we know that Zechariah did not believe the angel, because the angel says, because you did not believe my words. And notice this again, which will come true at their proper time. I want to say to you again, ladies and gentlemen, if there are certain promises that God has made to you, and you're still waiting for those promises to be fulfilled, don't assume that because it has taken a long time for the promises to be fulfilled, that God has changed his mind. Sometimes he does change his mind. Sometimes God will plan to do a good thing for us. He will plan to give us good things. But then if we decide that we're going to indulge in sin, and notice that I said indulge in sin, because no one is perfect. Everyone sins at some point. But some of us just make it a lifestyle of sinning less and less and less and less, and doing more and more and more of what pleases God, because he means that much to us. We love him so much that we truly want him to be pleased with us. We ask him to help us live a lifestyle that brings a smile to his face. And we really mean it. Lord, please help me live a lifestyle that will bring a smile to your face. Help me. And it's not because we want bragging rights. We just want to be some of the people who bring a smile to the face of a loving, awesome God instead of bringing a frown to his face. He gives so much to all of us, including to the people who hate him. He gives us so much that some of us want to give back. It's just that simple. But notice this. He can in times. There are times when God has said he was going to give something to a person. And this is in scripture as well as in our present life. He had planned to do something good, to bring something good into someone's life. But that person decided to indulge in sin, to make sin their lifestyle. And God said, now I'm changing my mind. The good that I was going to do for you, I'm no longer going to do it. The blessings that I was going to bring into your life, I'm no longer going to bring. Sometimes that it happens that way. But here's the thing. When we know that we have not begun to indulge in sin, when we know we are not living a sinful lifestyle, when we know that our life is devoted to pleasing God, and that when we do sin, rather than try to cover it up, make excuses for it, justify it, we quickly go to God, admit our sin, and we call it what it is, sin. Ask him to forgive us. Ask him to cleanse us. Believe that he does that. And ask him to help us. And you know, part of the reason that the cleansing is so important is because sin makes us dirty, filthy, contaminated, polluted, corrupt. And for those of us who love God, we don't want him living in a polluted temple. So we ask him to cleanse us too, so that we will be clean from our filth, but also so that he doesn't have to be in contact with that filth. But also we want God to strengthen us so that we don't repeat those sins. See, that's part of sinning less and less and less and doing more and more and more of what God is pleased with. So when we know that our lifestyle, for the most part, is truly pleasing God, I tell you something. It may take a while for the promise to be fulfilled. But remember, there are certain things that God wants in place before he fulfills the promise. It is for an appointed time, at the time that God knows that all things will be ready. And at that time that he already knows in advance, at that proper time, at that appointed time, he will fulfill the promise. So don't give up. At the appointed time. And we can't dictate it. I've shared that with you before. We cannot dictate those times. We have a lot of control over when we start college and when we graduate. We have much say in that. If it's basically a four-year program, for the most part, we can expect to graduate 4 years after we begin. We can make that plan, and that's not something that would upset God. If we know that the program that we're trying to become certified in, let's say as a certified trainer, and it's a program that takes 2 years, 3 years, okay, we can expect to be in that program for 2 or 3 years. There's nothing wrong with us making those plans and planning around that. I know I'll be certified by such and such a month and such and such a year, and so I should be able to start working as a certified trainer in such and such a month, such and such a year. See, you're making plans. I want to be applying at such and such a place, such and such a place. That's wise. But there are times when there are things that are just out of our control. And one of those examples is when God has made the promise as to what he's going to do for us. Now, if he tells us, like he did with Abraham, this time next year, we can expect it. And we can say, okay, Lord, we're moving up on that time. If that time comes and goes, we need to be asking God, Lord God, help me know what went wrong. The time that I was certain you had said it would happen, it did not happen. What am I doing wrong? Start with self and then move on to asking what else is going on. What else might be the problem? The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that the words he had spoken would come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, verse 21, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. Remember, while he was in the temple ministering to God through the burning of the incense, the people were outside, the worshipers were outside praying. Well, they had an idea of how long it should have taken Zechariah to finish what he was doing. And when he had gone far beyond that time, they were wondering, what's up? When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Now see, here's the thing. His wife Elizabeth was not already pregnant at the time that Gabriel gave him the word of God concerning the son who would be born. She became pregnant after Zechariah left the temple and rejoined his wife.